10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
From Central Florida, we're going to have a live report from a human being, not a reporter, and we'll find out what is actually going on after the hurricane. Now, from the Weather Cave, Dr. Dave.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night.
You know, I gotta get a new computer. It's just gonna make me crazy.
You see how I take a picture to send my mom to let her know I'm okay on vacation? Very cutesy, very demure. I do a nice fresh wig. I do a refresh on my toner. I do a nice fresh face of makeup. I don't wear too much, just a little mascara and a little chapstick. Or something very subtle, very high cut. I don't show a lot. I do a nice warm lighting in the back and nice cool lighting in the front. I'm very demure and very cute with it. Very cognizant and mindful of why I'm sending my mother the picture. You see the smile? I don't do fashion show. It's your mother, ladies. Let's send cutesy pictures to our mothers. You know, not everything has to be chichis out, chocho out, tota out. You know, it could be very cute. It could be very demure, very mindful. Let's remember to be demure, ladies.
If you want to hear the true insanity of an addict's thinking, listen to this.
I can see the things that make you happiness.
Ozzy Osbourne says that, yes, he's doing drugs again, but Sharon doesn't know. His wife doesn't know. Sharon Osbourne, who would know if you're lying for 4,000 miles away, if you said a lie to her, she's one of those very special people who would instantly know. He actually believes his wife doesn't know. Well, look at that. It's 12 minutes. 12 minutes we've killed. I'd say that's enough work for me for tonight. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. My $19 barber raised his price to $20.
Him complaining about the price isn't the most old man thing he did today. We'll let you know, coming up.
On Sterling every damn night.
Online order fracas leads to shooting. The people of Walmart. Later, Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
You want me to read this? Well, okay. The drive-through brew making its return, I guess. From the vault. You're not gonna hear this anywhere else. It's on the way, coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Beef leads to murder charges 9 years later. Strippers on the loose, coming up. Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling every night, the cop on his line. Talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets this guy.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about the NYPD's Alcohol Rehabilitation Center in upstate New York, otherwise known as The Farm. Now, when NYPD members get in trouble with anything alcohol involved, and it can be consuming alcohol on duty or even off duty when something happens, a bar incident or something at home, anything with alcohol, instead of getting suspended or fired on the spot, NYPD members will opt for a 30-day stay at The Farm. It was something worked out with the contract with the union and the department. Now, what happens is, after you screw up, someone from the union will put you in a car and they'll drive you 80 miles somewhere upstate New York where you go to rehab. But then there's stories of forced labor up there, of milking cows and loading fresh produce into trucks. You know, I don't know what to believe. Some guys actually liked The Farm. Some guys that didn't have the happiest of family lives had a suite up there. And every time they screwed up, they needed a break. They'd say, I'm an alcoholic and I have to go to The Farm. Well, not everybody that goes to The Farm is an alcoholic or has a problem with alcohol. Case in point, in the late 80s, an NYPD member, rookie cop, went to a concert in Raleigh, North Carolina. Had a couple of cocktails, and after the concert, he got pulled over and was arrested for DUI. He was a rookie. He was on probation. He didn't want to get fired, so he paid a fine, went back to New York, and never said a word to his employers. Well, back then, that sort of thing didn't get him in trouble because North Carolina didn't participate in the National Fingerprint Database System. Well, what winds up happening is some 18 years later, when this rookie cop is now an NYPD lieutenant with 2 years to go before he can retire, North Carolina decided to join the union. And what wound up happening was his fingerprints popped from an arrest 18 years earlier. Well, Internal Affairs got involved and came to the lieutenant and said, what happened about this? And he says, yeah, when I was young, I got arrested for DUI. I didn't tell the job. Well, the statute of limitations had expired and the department didn't know what to do with him. So rather than suspend him, they said, you got two choices. You can lose 30 vacation days and get put on a year probation, or you can go to The Farm. Now, the funny thing is, this cop hadn't had a drink in years. What did he do? He opted. He went up to The Farm, did his 30 days, came back, and said it was quite peaceful. So the NYPD members that screw up to this day, I don't know what happens to them, but one thing's for sure, I never wanted to go to The Farm. So for more interesting behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to pick up my new book, NYPD Laughing in the Line of Duty.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
You are a lush, I can tell by looking at you.
Today we are at a local grocery store in the heart of Brooklyn, New York, collecting food for our local food drive in Bensonhurst. I love the music. This is America. Oh my God, cream of wheat. I love cream of wheat. You remember this as a kid? When your mom would make it, when you fix your tummy and stuff? $8. Under Donald Trump's rule, that's going to be 10. Under mine, it'll be less. Okay, what do we need? Oh my God. Carrot pudding. Do you remember that as a kid? That's home. That's childhood. That's the heart of America. Oats. Oh, Dougie Doug loves oats. He has a bit of an IBS problem. He doesn't need the flavor. Originals enough for him. Okay, what else? Cereal. cereal. I love cereal more than anything. Oh my God, it's my friend John. My dear friend John. We're texting this morning. He's going to play the election.
Ed Till is in Central Florida. He witnessed all of the hurricane activity during the past week. I don't really trust reporters because they're so stupid they don't know how to get out of the rain. Why the hell would I want to see a reporter in a windbreaker that says weather or Channel 92 standing in the rain being blown against telephone poles? Are you that stupid? We got it. We know it's a hurricane. We don't want to see you blown around. We want to see the Sunoco sign blown around. We want to see the Toyota blown around and all of the boats blown into the beach. That's what we want to see. I don't want to see some guy getting blown around. Don't make that joke. But Ed Till is a great talk show host. He's one of the inspirations that I've had all my life because the man is pure energy, pure honesty, and he did something that was so brave. I never saw before or since another talk show host do it, and I will share that with you in a few minutes. But first, Ed Till in Central Florida, what's the situation now? What did you experience this week?
If you look right down Malabar Road, which is State Road 514, and it cuts right across I-95, Walter, you and I would notice some evidence, an occasional tree branch, a lot of the big public areas, expansive. They've kind of shoved them out of the way, but there they are. 90% of what we would see all the way to the beach would look untouched. If you were 30 miles north of us, deadly tornadoes. If you were 30 miles south of us, the tornado was so severe in Vero, it cut across the concrete. It put a wedge into the concrete of I-95. And destroyed homes. So the random, disparate, but vivid remnants are there. And it was unique to so many other storms that I have been through. My reach for experience on this storm was Flagler County on the north. I do comedy at a club up there in Palm Coast, all the way down to Vero. So we're talking about four and a half, five counties, almost 2 million people, 200 miles of coast. So that was breathtaking to see one storm smack all of that. And volunteers, public resources were staged beautifully. I mean, we were just shaking off Helene only days before. So you wind up on your toes. And the size of the weather map, you could see that in people's faces at Publix, Winn-Dixie, Dollar General, Waffle House.
Piggly Wiggly.
Gas station. Yeah.
You have a real governor. That helps.
This man, now, put the politics aside, because he's different in a different arena. This is his wheelhouse. No one does a checklist. No one does a definitive enumeration. And he keeps it all in front of his mind. Staging, numbers, what I had for you last time, what we've done since, what I really... His tone was, that's the textbook. That's what it's all about, what he did. And the results, much different than had we had different leadership.
Ed Till is in Central Florida. He's a brilliant talk show host, stand-up comic, friend. And now I have to reveal to you that I saw you do the bravest thing I ever saw a talk show host do before or after. I never saw anybody else do it, never saw anybody else with the guts to do it. But this is what Ed Till did. I don't have the guts to do this. The radio station he was working at, which used to be much better, in Orlando, Real Radio 104.1. Let's all remember who named it. And he heard that we were doing focus groups. This is when I wore a suit and wingtip shoes. He heard that we were doing focus groups on the host. We were bringing in people from the trailer park and the fast food joints and asking them questions about what they liked about the station and not. Ed heard about this, and he said, "Can I watch them?" And I'm like, are you out of your freaking mind? Do you have any idea the you have any idea the deflation to your ego when they know nothing that you've ever done in your life on the air, that they will have no memory? And you sat there eating the free sandwiches, watching it like it was a movie. And I could not believe the courage as a talk show host to see your audience through a one-way mirror talking about your show. Why did you do that?
You know, there is unbridled curiosity that would dwarf exactly the equation you just laid out, right? I mean, oh, man, this will suck. They're not going to know what I said. They're going to get it wrong. They're not going to think highly of me. The curiosity of knowing how another person felt from your work, you know, I'm really awash in that now, because they can't hide their face when I'm on stage and they're 7 feet away. I can see if they're in or they're not in. And there are people that get up and go to the bathroom. They start talking. So you do want to know that. You want to know how you sounded to them. Just what you said a moment ago. Is anything getting through? You know, when we're doing it, we're always thinking about the listener who's got it all. It's following now, and I opened up this, and the news story, and the soundbite.
One of the reasons you're a great talk show host is something you just said that most don't say. Do you know what you said? You said the listener in singular. And that's where most of them screw up. All my listeners. No, you don't have listeners. You have one listener. One. And did you learn anything from this horrific experience, Ed?
You do. You know, I'm learning a lot now with the older years. Things are dawning on me. So what I really took away from this is how far ahead on what matters my little town was. And I think that's going to be reflected a lot of places. They weren't using the television to dictate whether to put up shutters, to go get the water, to make sure the batteries, what about the pets, where's Aunt Sophie? This was much more instinctive, and it was fun to see that as a kid when I was in New York and it was a snow day, I had William B. Williams telling my mom, you know, what right. I should do, and then my mom would turn to me, go get your rubbers and your galoshes, and it was a pass the word.
Right.
But now I saw real people that, hey, we got this. We're watching your pictures. We got this.
We got this. There's this, the two words that you'll know what I'm about to say. They are hard out. I am grateful for Ed Till sharing this time on Sterling on Sunday. Great talk show host. Where are you appearing this week as a stand-up?
This week, I'll actually be appearing in Rome. I'll be at the Rome Comedy Club in Rome, Italy, as I begin a month in Europe.
Right.
I'm performing in Rome. And then I'll be in the Edinburgh Festival in August, and I'll be at the Whiskey Cellar in Greenwich Village, New York, December 29th.
Ed, two words, hard out. You're the best. Thank you very, very much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, Hollywood. Sterling every damn night.
I hope you have nudity in this movie that you're going to talk about, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood. Good evening, sir. How you doing? Is there nudity in this movie?
That's what we
want to know. Is there nudity?
Yes, there is a brief bit of nudity. Sadly, it's all too brief. I can't help it. I don't make these movies. I just tell you about them. You can't hold me personally responsible for the nudity. We can go find nudity somewhere else, and I'll keep trying. I'll keep trying, because we like, you know, there's nothing prettier, more inspiring than the human form. Anyway, in movies, we've got a movie called Wolves, which is streaming now on Apple Plus And this is a story about a district attorney of New York, played by Amy Ryan, who has a one-night stand with a young guy, played by Austin Abrams, at an expensive penthouse in a luxury hotel. And out of the young boo, the guy jumps onto the bed, falls off onto a glass table, and dies. So she gets on her phone and calls a fixer, because she's the attorney general and she can't have a scandal, to fix the situation. And George Clooney shows up at the hotel room and prepares to remove the corpse. But another guy, Brad Pitt, arrives at the penthouse, summoned by the hotel owner to do the same job. So they now, after bickering a little bit back and forth about who's supposed to clean up this mess with a great deal of humor, find a backpack of drugs, and the hotel tells them, get those drugs back to the owner. We don't need a scandal. So when they put the body of the dead kid in the trunk, turns out he's alive. He just had OD'd. So they try to use the kid to get the info to get the drug back, and the night spirals into craziness, and it's just quite exciting, action-filled. And because it's Clooney and Pitt, you've got some great conversations as the two bring some humor to an otherwise incredibly violent action picture. So it's fun, and it's good, and it's on Apple Plus TV. Although I don't recommend anyone watch it until this broadcast is over.
Well, there are a couple issues here, and it reminds me of this very, very, very brief interview. Listen to this.
Have you ever rejected a man specifically to test his determination to winning you over?
Yes. 100%.
So then how does no always mean no?
It doesn't. No can mean yeah.
Well, that's confusing.
No can mean yeah, and yeah can mean no. Just depends on how you say it.
Just depends if it's Brad Pitt and George Clooney. Now, if it's Brad Pitt and George Clooney, the scale of yes and no, we've always suspected, is very different. If it's the freaky guy in HR who hasn't been to the gym in his life, when you say no to him, well, then you mean it. But if it's Brad Pitt and you say no to him, and Brad is challenged and starts sending you notes and calls you at 2 a.m, is that flattery or is that creepiness? These are the real issues of our day.
Well, you know, it's certainly more important than me trying, as I did earlier in the broadcast, to do the Freddy, which was very interesting to watch, and thankfully there was no video. But you know what? There is video of.
Didn't you miss that song? Didn't you miss it?
Of course.
It's been a long time. Now, what else did you want to talk about?
Well, what was caught on video was Timothée Chalamet in a New York restaurant. Little Charlie in the Village. He's there with Kylie Jenner. Evidently, they're still an item, although they were last seen in public at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood last July. The first time they were seen together, I think, was back in April of 2023. But anyway, caught this.
Do you think,
yes,
in these here times, that Hollywood agents and Hollywood moguls still stage relationships? Do you think it's still possible that they're paying her to hang out with him?
Anything is possible, especially if it's going to make a buck and it's part of the publicity of something. But I don't see them working in any movie as of yet. So
what the goal is.
I mean,
he's a real actor. She's a companion. There's no way that she could act in a movie of his caliber. No way.
Well,
right?
Yeah, well. Well, you know, we've seen her work on the Kardashians, right? If you've watched that. And some certainly have. She's a beautiful girl.
Yeah. And he's a beautiful girl, too.
Actually, you've got a wonderful name for him, which is not Timothée Chalamet. I can't remember what you called him recently, but
it's
Timothée
Chardonnay. Timothée Chardonnay.
Yeah, there we go.
He has better hair than any girl I've ever been out with. And in my humble opinion, and this is freedom of speech, in my opinion, no straight man can be that skinny.
Yeah, it's just wrong, isn't it?
And unfair.
What can we do?
Hey, listen, Mateus,
yes.
Boom Boom, you're terrific. Next Friday, you're going to be on Sterling every damn night. I appreciate your contributions to our giant network show. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Lesbians in space. Guards! Guards!
So last night I was making dinner and I look over and Sophia was making the bed, doing her laundry, cleaning up the living room, and feeding the cats. And I didn't have to ask her to do any of that. She just does it. Like, I feel like that is the one complaint in a marriage with a guy and a girl. The wife is always complaining that she has to ask the husband to do things. And being in a relationship with a girl, you both just do the things and you don't have to be asked.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Sterling every damn night. Inspired by the devil's weed.
Have you been smoking marijuana?
Marijuana is illegal, I know that.
That's right.
For now. In a couple of years, things may change when all the kids grow up and start wearing ties and going to the polls. Marijuana is going to be like liquor, packaged and taxed and sold right off the shelf.
I doubt it, Mr. Shipley.
There's a big difference between marijuana and hard narcotics.
Yeah, but it's only a small step.
And everybody who takes a drink is going to be an alcoholic. We know that's not true, don't we?
All right. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. It's a live radio show on Sunday night. There is no other live radio show on Sunday night. It doesn't exist. And then Netflix has this interview out with the man who, quote, quote, invented Bitcoin. Let's review what Bitcoin is again. It's something that comes out of invisible mines, and no one knows where the mines are. We don't actually see the Bitcoin. You have to have secret passwords. If you die and you don't have the passwords, your fortune's gone. And the inventor until now, gee, we didn't know who it was. Yeah, that's the currency I'd depend on. But what terrifies me is the driving force behind that currency is to turn us into a cashless society around the world. One currency around the world. And a major university hospital system called, ready? University Hospital System. No longer takes cash. I'm hoping somebody appeals that in court and says that's illegal, but they will not accept cash at a doctor's office, at their pharmacies, at their cafeterias. They will not take cash. A big hospital system with terrifying people on their board. Steve and Selena of JB Bakery, do you still take cash at JB Bakery, Steve?
Hey, Walter, I love this topic. One of the reasons why I love my business so much is it's a cash business, and it's like 50% cards, 50% cash. I do take cash. I'm happy to take cash. I prefer cash. I actually have a couple tags, like advertisements in my shop to promote Keep Cash Alive. So if people go to hashtag Keep Cash Alive, or there's a movement going on called Cash Friday, where it's just asking people to, you know, use your Friday paycheck where you get your paycheck, buy something cash, go support a small business. Even if you go into a liquor store and buy your Friday drink, use cash at the bakery. It helps feed. Nobody, you know, these, Walter, have you noticed like on a lot of receipts right now, people are charging like high like percentages for to use cards. Do you know about that?
In many cities, in many states, that is in fact illegal. Believe it or not, in New York City, that is illegal.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of having surcharges on receipts. I don't like people, my customers, getting an added fee on the receipt. So I have a nice policy that says, hey, if you want to use a card, because a lot of the purchases, my average purchase is like $25, but there's many items that are under, like, are $1, $2. Some people like to charge, use their Apple phone for a $5 charge. Anything under $10, I charge 25 cents. And people are happy to pay that. But I don't put any fees on my final purchase. It's all worked into the price. I think my customers would leave with a good feeling, know that there's no added fees. So my recommendation is for anybody that could go to this establishment, small business, use cash as often as possible. That person, that business owner, gets to take that cash and goes and uses it to buy other things using cash, and it keeps circulation alive. So that's actually what makes our country great, I believe.
I totally agree. And Bitcoin and other services like that, in the world, the United States currency is the default currency. And if we start going to a cashless society, our strength as a nation, our currency will be devalued every time that happens. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention about this is in the in Asheville, in the terrible floods around Asheville, the FEMA people were saying, we're going to give everybody here $750. And I'm like, hi, you have no electricity. The ATMs aren't going to work. The banks are locked. Am I going to get that as a check? Or are you going to give me an envelope with cash in it like Tony Soprano? Never was it explained, how were those people supposed to access the $750? Everybody going to get cash? I can't imagine the federal government handing out envelopes with the cash. And then if I get it as a check, it is useless to me for at least 2 or 3 weeks until my bank reopens. And if you have that mobile phone deposit thing, all the cell towers are down. I couldn't imagine a less sensitive gift to people who are suffering, who will need to rebuild a home, which isn't going to happen with $750. Now, Selena, I have a very important question for you. Selena and Stephen run the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. It's a grandmother bakery. It's not some chain. They don't have scary things. They have insanely beautiful, cute Halloween cupcakes. I saw those. Very impressive. They're on Facebook, JB as in boy bakery. Look at their stuff on Facebook. But Selena, listen to this.
Have you ever rejected a man specifically to test his determination to winning you over?
Yes, 100%.
So then how does no always mean no?
It doesn't. No can mean yeah.
Well, that's confusing.
No can mean yeah, and yeah can mean no. Just depends on how you say it.
It depends if Brad Pitt says it. It depends if George Clooney says it. Am I right about that, Selena? Brad Pitt says, you know, flirts, George Clooney flirts, and you say yes or no. Doesn't it depend on who's flirting?
So I would say no, it doesn't depend on who's flirting with me. Unless it's Steven, then I would always say yes to Steven. Half the time, I don't even know what I'm saying yes to. But, you know, here I am on the radio. This is one of those occasions where I just said yes without thinking, because how am I going to tell Steven no? Look at him. How am I going to tell him no? But I don't know. I've never done that. I know I've heard other women say that. Other girls, they'll be like, you know, no means no. But, you know, I would just test him and tell him no. But I just feel like that's too dangerous of a game to play with guys. And then if you're telling them no, you can't really be upset when they walk away from you, you know. So I've definitely seen it go wrong a couple of times. I just don't feel like that's really necessary. I just think there are other ways to do that.
I've always worked on the premise that if she says no, it's no. I figure that's a safer path. And
I feel like that's a safe bet.
I also have little confidence in my ability to work through it. Like, if she says no, fine, that's it. I'm off the hook. I don't have to start writing poems and sending flowers. What sold big this week at JB Bakery? Selena, what sold big?
So definitely, we have all of our Halloween stuff is basically out in the store. Like, we put a lot of different things out. You saw them on Facebook. We've got cupcakes. We have a pumpkin cream cheese cupcake now. We've got birthday cakes. We always have different cakes available in the store, but some of our 7-inch cakes and 8-inch cakes are now decorated with ghosts and painted in all different fun colors of buttercream for the holiday. The pumpkin cheesecake donuts, I actually got to make them with Steven this week, which is really fun. So definitely try those. Those are going. And the pumpkin cream donuts as well. Those are very popular. And pumpkin cake donuts with caramel frosting. We did put those out too. So those are another delicious holiday item.
You can see pictures of these incredible baked goods at JB Bakery on Facebook. JB Bakery on Facebook. Do you have a recipe for us this week, Stephen?
Yeah, Walter, I like the ginger snaps. It's one of my favorite cookies, actually, because they're always found in supermarkets at the front door. But I'd rather make my own. I love making, you know, everything from scratch. So this recipe that I'll be sending you, it's all scratch. It's very simple to make. You got to have ginger. You got to have molasses and the basic ingredients as well. They're very good. They're very tasty. Selena and I split one. She really enjoys them. They're nice because you get to roll them up in sugar, so it gives it like a nice crunch and that wonderful fall, that warm feeling of spice, and it's very delicious. So I'll be sending that one over to you. Ginger
All right,
snaps.
So ginger snaps, if you want the recipe for Stephen's ginger snaps, easy to make, send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will send you the recipe. And these are fun recipes. It has pictures of Stephen and Selena, it's pictures of the item, and it coaches you through it, which is why I think these are special recipes. JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, thank you very much, Selena and Stephen. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's a very exciting radio show because it's actually live. I'm not at Ruby Tuesdays right now, the way the disc jockeys are on those silly little ridiculous FM stations that go 30 miles. The station I'm on, like KMOX, WPHT, KDKA, KFBK, we cover the country because everything that you and I say here is that important. Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of okay radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I know what you're obsessed about right now, and we'll discuss it and do the therapy on it in seconds. First, from the Weather Cave, Dr. Dave.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Use it. Because when you call and you go on the air, what are you? What do you become then on KXNT in Las Vegas? What do you become then? You become the media on KXNT in Las Vegas. You become the media. Now, it may not be possible in a week or two on KXNT in Las Vegas to become the media. But tonight you can be. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. There was a popular theory a couple months ago that every man in America, every day, for a few seconds or longer, thinks about ancient Rome, thinks about the Roman Empire. And as I thought about that, I thought, that's true. Every day I do think about the Roman Empire. I think about the Colosseum, which I've been to. And if you haven't, you want to do it. It's worth the bucket list trip. We think about the food of the Roman Empire, how much of their culture and their civilization has been replicated by us, including fast food. On the streets of the Roman Empire, there were fast food carts. People could get a hot meal quickly, fast, and cheaply. And it was important because it was a much bigger deal to cook in a house then. You had to start a fire. You had to make sure the fire didn't take down your whole house. The straw-roofed house, it was probably best. We thought about the Roman Empire. Men did. And then I would suggest about 9 months ago, we shifted from the Roman Empire. And every man started thinking about Caitlin Clark, not in a sexual way, but with deep respect and admiration for her mad skills at the 3-point line. Mad skills, right? I realized I was thinking about Caitlin Clark every day, that there was something there where I just thought about her. I'd look for pictures of her. No, I didn't look for pictures. That'd be too creepy. But pictures would come up on Facebook and TikTok. And we have to talk about TikTok. On Facebook and TikTok. And I'd always look and I'd always smile. I always admired Caitlin Clark. Thought about her every day. Thought about the Roman Empire less. More about Caitlin Clark. And her best friend, Kate Martin. Now, when is somebody on the Indiana Fever going to be smart enough to draft Kate Martin to that team, because if Kate and Caitlin were on the same team, both would do much better. They are a terrific team. They play well together. They protect each other. They inspire each other. But what's nice is that Kate Martin has been well respected and taken care of by the Las Vegas Aces. They've done a really good job with her. They have not scared her. They've supported her. They've not overplayed her. They haven't played her enough, which is a smart strategy, because when she does play, she does great. And then they let her rest a game or two. But if she went to the Fever, she would do great things. I hope that happens. But you see, that's 3.5 minutes of me thinking about Caitlin Clark. Men default to mild minor league obsessions. The Roman Empire, Caitlin Clark, completely harmless things. For a good couple years ago, every day I thought about a Cadillac. I thought, you know, I really want a Cadillac. And did I ever act on that? No, I never did. But I thought about it for a good 9 months. And then there have been times where I've thought about specific teeth whitening toothpaste. I just would think about that. But now, I have come across a new item that I bet you are thinking about every day. Yeah, you. I bet you're thinking about this every day. Because ever since I first saw it, which was a month ago, I'm like, I've been thinking about that every day. And I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. My $19 barber raised his price to $20.
Him complaining about the price isn't the most old man thing he did today. We'll let you know, coming up.
On Sterling every damn night.
Online order fracas leads to shooting. The people of Walmart. Later, Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Theo Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
You want me to read this? Well, okay, the drive-thru brew making its return, I guess, from the vault. You're not gonna hear this anywhere else. It's on the way, coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Beef leads to murder charges 9 years later. Strippers on the loose, coming up. Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Hi, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here with stories of living in our old house with our 8 kids. I still go to the most inexpensive barber I can find. It's kind of the old-school barber shop. It was $19, which is a lot less than some of the barbers are charging 35, 40, 50, 60 bucks.
We have a barber in town that is charging $140 a cut.
I don't even understand that, but this guy was $19. He just raised his price to $20.
Well, honey, he's almost ready to hit the 100-year mark on his next birthday. He needs a little bit for his retirement.
It's still a good haircut. Do you think it looks all right?
I think it's an okay haircut. What I think is really weird about it, though, is that you get to be more and more old man the more often you go to the old man barber.
I'm still the youngest customer.
Which is unbelievable to me. But I'd like to tell everyone what you did this morning.
Right. She calls this an old man maneuver.
Everybody knows that when you go to a restaurant at 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, which we're known for just because of our schedules, that's the early bird time. Only the old people are there.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what time you went to the barber, honey.
5:45 a.m.
He got there at 5:55 and pulled in after the barber, like directly after him.
Right.
They pulled in like a little caravan.
I was
together.
First guy in the chair. No waiting.
I do not think, besides the fact that he has to shave your eyebrows now and clean out your ear hair, there's anything more old man than that.
You're saying it's an old man maneuver to go to the barber as soon as he opens at 5:30 or 6 in the morning.
Sunday morning at 6 o'clock? Who does that? Only people who are sitting in their rocking chair the rest of the day.
Right.
The secret is they have the hours posted, but he's always there a half hour early. And you can sneak in.
And how do you know this? Because you're like stalking him?
Yes.
This is what my husband does in his free time.
Yeah.
Naps and goes everywhere early.
But here's the deal. If you wait till the afternoon, there's usually four or five old men in front of you. And you got to sit and sit and sit and read the old magazines. And, you know, it's not fun.
It takes a long time because he has to use the special ear hair trimmer on each one of them.
That's not even a joke. He has a trimmer for your hair, and then he has a smaller one that he does ear hair with.
Right, and I'm sure he's cleaning it between each old man's ear.
Come on.
That's why the $140 barber exists, because he probably has his own ear hair remover for each client.
Straight razor on the back of the neck also. It's a pretty good haircut for, you know, 20. Plus tip.
So what did that come up to, honey? $21.50?
That would have been an old man tip.
All right.
$25.
Okay, babe. Well, I think we better go cozy up and get in bed now so that we can be ready to go to our dinner at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Kat Timpf.
Look what happened to J-Lo. Exactly. You don't know what happened to J-Lo. She got back with her ex, and then, I mean, everyone's like, she's going to be the exception. No one's the exception. This big wedding, blah, blah, blah. And then what happened? That little, she made that documentary. Everybody hated her. Her tour canceled. She got back with her ex. I'm alone in a hotel room in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I know this. What's the excuse here? Huh?
Sterling on Sunday. At 855-839-1210. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I have an email address. Every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. We have a spectacular website which enables you, Neil Paul, Keith Mortensen, Charlie Green, and son, to become a Midnight Misfit. You click on the tab at the top. It says Midnight Misfit. You download and print out your secret decoder card, which also lets you learn what it is to be a Midnight Misfit. What are your requirements, Bill White? What are you required to do? And what you're not required to do? Corned beef is involved. Never minimize the importance of corned beef. Ever. For a while, every man in America thought about the Roman Empire. Then every man in America, out of respect, thought about Caitlin Clark. Never sexual, just respect. And now, a month ago, I started thinking about something else every day. And I'm wondering, how did this happen? I'm at Home Depot, which terrifies me, the way gym terrified me. When I was in high school and junior high, phys ed was the most miserable experience I could possibly have. I spent every ounce of leverage with my mother, persuading her to write me an excuse to get out of phys ed, PE, swimming. Every good deed I did was all targeted in wait for leverage with my mom to write an excuse. Who would write an excuse with a fountain pen and Cartier stationery? Imagine the waste of money. To get me out of gym. She could have done it on a scrap of paper. Would have worked fine. But no. She had embossed stationery. Heavyweight envelopes. Beautiful sort of fountain pen. Get him out of gym. When I go to the Home Depot, I reflect on that. It, for some reason, it feels like that. And just like gym, there is nobody going to help me. I am there alone. Aisle after aisle, mile after mile, I hope to gosh I don't have to go to the bathroom. Because there's no greater sprint challenge than going to a bathroom at a Home Depot. Is it that aisle? I always forget which aisle it's always by the paint for some reason. Also true at Walmart. Explain that to me. It's as though they got together and conspired that you will go to the bathroom when you see the paint. It'll be Pavlovian. Paint, bathroom, paint, bathroom. And then I keep going back in the Home Depot, and I get to where real men go, where there's uncut lumber. The huge planks of lumber on the shelves, 30 feet long. They charge per cut. Do not make a mistake. Measure twice before you go to Home Depot. Do not guess where to make that cut, because if you come back with that wood, it won't be the wood you want. If you come back with that wood and you want them to cut it again, they're going to charge you again. And then whoever you live with will mock you for days. Why didn't you measure it before? And you put it on top of the minivan that you hate anyway. You traded in your freaking Jaguar for a minivan. It's got a bumper sticker that says, my other car used to be a Jaguar. There you are in the minivan with the pieces of wood that you mismeasured at the Home Depot. But it's not that easy now, is it? You take the wood back to Home Depot and what? You have to wait in line again. And old Charlie, who cut it the first time, he's already gone home. It's 2 in the afternoon. Charlie works 6 to 2. You're there 2:15. Home Depot at that scary part of the store with the lumber, where it says contractor discount or contractor waiting area or contractors here, you're not a contractor. You're a guy who decided to build your kid bookshelves and are regretting it every single second of your life, that you made that decision to go to the scary part of Home Depot. Whatever I want to buy at Home Depot when I get there, it's too big. I don't need this much of whatever it is. I don't need that much of whatever it is. But now, I saw something at Home Depot about 6 weeks ago, and it's haunted me every day. Instead of Caitlin Clark and the Roman Empire, I'm spending every day thinking about the 12-foot-high skeletons. The 12-foot-high skeletons, which come in a variety of varieties. I can get them with the bones in green or red or lit up. I can get the chest cavity lit up. And for some reason, I think it's really funny that you can buy a four-pack of human skeletons, a family pack, that's what they call it, life-size human skeleton family pack for $119. And the decision that I have to make, because I know you've been thinking about those 12-foot skeletons, the decision I have to make is for 2.5 weeks a year to put the skeletons outside my house where they could be cold. Am I going to spend $119 for a family of four 12-foot-high skeletons? I live in a Halloween neighborhood. There are Christmas neighborhoods. There are gardening neighborhoods. There are perfect lawn neighborhoods. I live in a Halloween neighborhood. But it's not a good Halloween neighborhood. There are two types. There's the extremely creative Halloween neighborhoods, where they do clever things. They've thought of out-of-the-box ways to scare you and to demonstrate ghosts. And then there are spend-a-lot-of-money Halloween neighborhoods. And I live in a neighborhood completely devoid of creativity. There's not one creative person within miles. But they seem to have a visa. And they waste about $5 to $1,000 a Halloween to decorate their front lawns with many, many, many 12-foot-high skeletons and strange lighting effects, but nothing clever. They just dump the crap on the front lawn. And to me, Halloween is like Los Angeles. Very happy when it arrives, very happy to leave. But that's what I've been thinking about. The 12-foot-high skeletons at Home Depot. How about you? 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. What are you thinking about every day a little bit? 888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
More news, day and night, around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Headed for the Love Truck Stop, the I-80 truck stop in Iowa, Iowa 80 truck stop, the largest truck stop in America, owned and operated by a woman who I very much wanted on the show, and she didn't want to come on. She refused, but she'll take your money at the Iowa 80 truck stop and the Love truck stops. And here we are, we're going up 4, 95, 70, 90, the I-5 in California. This is us. This is who you and I are. We hit the road and we're happy about it. I prefer to drive at night. Many people prefer to drive in the day. I don't care. I prefer to drive at night. And I prefer to drive at night because then I am wrapped in solitude. I am wrapped in the magnificent darkness. And this week, through most of the East Coast, you could see the Northern Lights. And I'm so grateful that many Midnight Misfits sent me photos of the Northern Lights. It was an interesting phenomena in that if you looked at the sky, I won't tell you in which direction, because believe it or not, people asked, you might not see the Northern Lights. But then if you put the iPhone camera up to your eye, through the camera, you could see the Northern Lights, and they were unusual Northern Lights in that they were not green and blue, they were red. Now, all my life, I've had the privilege of seeing Northern Lights, right, Keith Fons? We've been able to see the Northern Lights. Great gift, wonderful, incredible experience. The Northern Lights, if you haven't seen them, yeah, you know they're pretty, sky's going to be red, blue, green, but there's something they don't talk about, which is they shimmer. And they shimmer in random ways. They shimmer as though they are moving to entertain themselves, much like a cat. You're going to look at them and go, I think it's going to do this next, and you'll always be wrong. They have a mind of their own. They're just magnificent. And NASA has photos that you can see online of Northern Lights on other planets at the poles. It's just like, oh my God, it's incredible. But you and I are thinking about, we as men think about something every day that's weird. For decades, men in America thought about the Roman Empire, some aspect of the Roman Empire every day. When I heard that, I'm like, yeah, I do think about the Roman Empire every day. Yeah, I think about the Colosseum and the slaves and the gladiators and the women and the baths. We're fascinated, endlessly fascinated by the baths, because the when they went to the baths in Rome, it was a whole day thing. It started with the people going to the bath outside in mud, wrestling with each other. They'd wrestle with each other to get up their circulation, to get the need for a bath. And then there were multiple pools, and you went through them in a certain sequence, and they were magnificent, beautiful tiles. And I was thinking about strip malls. And when you and I drive on the Route 22 of your state, whatever this, every state has a Route 22, a Route 1 and 9. That's what I know. I know Jersey. So every state has one of those. And they build new malls. They build new strip malls. They build new CVSs and Rite Aids and Walgreens. And it finally dawned on me, why do we build ugly? With our technology, architecture, the great architecture schools that you and I have and have access to, the brilliant work that we can see in many high-rise buildings and high-rise apartment buildings in major cities, They'll spend a fortune to make the facade of a high-rise building unique, modern, stunning, inspiring. Inspiring. But what is usually built? A crappy drugstore. A crappy bank branch that inspires nothing. As a nation, when it comes to architecture, we are all function. We are all function. We don't make the effort to make a beautiful facade or water feature. Wouldn't it be nice if the next time they build a CVS or Rite Aid or Walgreens or crappy bank, wouldn't it be nice if it was landscaped and there was a fountain, a little river, a little stream? It wouldn't take much. But now when you're driving and you pull into that Love truck stop and you pull into that damn McDonald's and the Dunkin' Donuts, look around. What do you see? You see a square building, a box. And by the way, there's a company that pretty much builds all the boxes for Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King. One company builds all the boxes. And the guy, the CEO said, but I'm telling you, we build beautiful boxes. Yes, you do. And then what comes up to the beautiful box? Asphalt. And if you're lucky, a handicap sticker. You get to park up front for your neuropathy in your foot because you eat too much sugar. But I digress. How much would it take to landscape that? How much would it take to put in a water feature? How much would it take to put in a proper playground? Not much. But you look at everything that's been built around you in the past 10 years, the past 15 years, every retail experience, it's garbage. Look at the old diners. If you see a diner before 1950, they looked cool. They were streamlined. They had neon, big clocks, comfy booths. What are we building now? I love Waffle House. Waffle House is not comfortable. You know that. The booths are too small, especially for you, Keith. And the fact is that the booths are too small on purpose, because the one thing that the Waffle House people know how to do is turn over tables. They know how to turn tables. They're brilliant at it. They do two things. The booths are a little too small, especially after you've eaten, right after you've eaten. And there's no Wi-Fi. There is no Wi-Fi in any Waffle House because they do not want to become Starbucks. They don't want people parking there. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Joshua Sutton Sr. was enjoying a wonderful night at an amazing exotic dancing place called A Chorus Line. Every singular sensation right there at A Chorus Line in Davenport, Iowa. Drinks were consumed, maybe other things, and a beef happened between one of three brothers. Camden Juan and Trenton Shelton got into a little bit of an argument. It escalated into a fight. 3-on-1, not fair. Joshua Sutton Sr. lived the last 9 years of his life in a vegetative state. A lot like Joe Biden. Okay. So he passed away, and once he died, they don't mess around in Davenport, Iowa. Immediately, when this feller hit room temperature, the brothers were charged. Camden, Juan, and Trenton Shelton in custody could get 10 years each in jail for second-degree murder. Strip club beefs, we bring them up over and over again. It's a real thing. And may I just say that it's probably best for you when you're in the club, if all of a sudden somebody offends you or what it disrespects you, just walk away. If you're in the club as 3-on-1, here's what you do. You order an Uber and you get out of town, jump into that Uber, and come back for your car at another time. One man's death, three men in jail. Not worth it. Just not worth it. Trixie, she's there to accept tips and to give lap dances. She don't care about you. She ain't worth dying for or going to jail over. Helpful hint. Man, she's got great legs. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Online order fracas leads to shooting. The people of Walmart. Later. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
You want me to read this? Well, okay. The drive-thru brew making its return, I guess. From the vault, you're not gonna hear this anywhere else. It's on the way, coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling at Night, inspired by Jenna Kim Jones.
I told my husband he could no longer watch Hallmark movies with me this year. Because he's always asking stupid questions. Like, haven't we seen this one already?
888-688-WALT. It's not cool to say that you're afraid of the Home Depot. There are things that you and I are afraid of as midnight misfits, as introverts, that we just can't say we don't like. Street fairs come to mind. Street fairs. For years, I fooled myself into thinking I love street fairs. Well, I may love the idea of street fairs, but the reality of street fairs is I don't want to see the area behind the sausage vendor. I don't really want to see that. And I don't want to get near any of the trash cans at a street fair because they're always bee infested and I will get stung. And they're exhausting. And all the tchotchkes that they sell, the macrame, the scarves, the t-shirts, you and I know those are crazy overpriced. But it took me a long time to admit that I am afraid in the Home Depot. I don't know anything about downs and flags and football. I sure as hell don't know anything about how to shop in a Home Depot. Because after I buy some, after I find whatever it was I need, and I never shop in the Home Depot, I'm omnidirected. I'm going to get what I have to get here and leave. But then they have this weird checkout system. I mean, it is really weird. There aren't really cashier lines. There's sort of cashier lines. The cash registers always look unmanned, and then I get up there, and there's this wall of candy I'm supposed to buy at a Home Depot. Seems so out of place, but now at the Home Depot, up there on the top shelf against the outer wall, are 12-foot skeletons. And there are a variety of them, and I can get a family four-pack of skeletons. It's just too funny they label it that. A family four-pack of skeletons for $120. And there's the dilemma. I can do that or pay the electric bill. I can do that or pay the cell phone bill. I can do that and pay for food. For 2.5 weeks that I would have the skeletons on the front yard, is it really worth $120? But let's think about this. There had to be a meeting about it. Before Home Depot would carry anything, they had to have a meeting in a very proper conference room with grown-ups sitting around going, what's our Halloween inventory like? Well, we got tons of pumpkins outside. No, we got to step it up. I know, we need 12-foot skeletons. What? Yeah, we got to make some of them have red ribs, some of them have green ribs, and some of them have light-up ribs. Would you put together a presentation on that for us? Yeah, next week. Here's my PowerPoint on the 12-foot skeletons. Take a look. They're going to come in three varieties, but the same skeletal structure. And we'll make them 12 feet tall. Who wouldn't want that? And they'll dominate the skyline in the Home Depot. Oh, my God. They had to meet about it. They all had to agree on it. And they all had to decide that the right price for a four-pack of family skeletons is $120. And I have thought about it every day since I've seen it. Just like the Roman Empire, just like Caitlin Clark, I have thought about those skeletons every day. Should I get them or not? But the fact that they occupy my brain, they dominate my mind, is the power of a guy obsessing. Women do not think about things like that. They do not think about the Roman Empire every day. They don't think about Caitlin Clark every day, and they sure as hell don't think about the 12-foot-high skeletons, because with the 12-foot-high skeletons, if I got the family four-pack, I would then what? What? I would dominate my block. I would win, because I would light it. I'd put scary lights on it. My 12-year-old girl would be out of her mind happy. But I live on one of those blocks where they do Halloween by cash. They spend a fortune on crap for the front yard, but they don't organize it clever, light it clever. It's just a dump. True of Christmas, too. In other neighborhoods, people go out of their way to come up with very clever ideas for Halloween, and respect. And the same thing with Christmas. But in my neighborhood, they just spend a lot of money. And I'm looking at the money they're wasting. And I'm like, I don't want to spend a lot of money on 12-foot-high skeletons. And by the way, Marshalls, they have all their Christmas stuff out. Yes, they already have all their Christmas stuff out at Marshalls. And there's more pressure. Now I got to go to Marshalls and decide what I'm going to obsess about for decorations until Christmas. My life is hell. How about you? 888-688-WALT. I want to talk to you. It's a live radio show. That's what we get to do. The minute you go on the air on Sterling on Sunday with me, Walter Sterling, you become the media. You can no longer blame the media. Now you are the media when you call me at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And I have an email. Yes, my gosh. On KFBK, I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Send me a note saying you'd like the ginger snap recipe from our friends at JB Bakery, and I will send it to you tomorrow. Just ask for it, no problem. The recipes he puts together are fun. Simple to do. A lot of coaching. If it doesn't work this way, try this. Pictures of Selena and Steve. Everything, all your baking fantasies in one email. Isn't that spectacular? WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And the website, waltersterlingshow.com. We have it all going on. It's all going on. It's exciting, isn't it? Yeah, so call 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Coming up in just seconds, a report from outer space with the great Dave Scott. But first, what we care about the very most, Dr. Dave's weather.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every night.
Dave Scott, did you see on TikTok or Instagram the SpaceX booster rocket landing? Backing
up? I sure did.
Oh my gosh, why don't you describe what you saw, because you'll do a better job than I will.
Well, Elon Musk had been trying to invent with his SpaceX team a way to catch the rocket booster that would eventually send and propel any spaceship over to Mars or the moon. And they did the first test on the weekend, and I couldn't believe it. Watching this rocket come in at almost 600-700 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden it hit the brakes in the sky and kind of slowly moved its way to the catapult of which would launch it, and watching the catapult actually grab a hold of that rocket, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. What a feat of technological amazement.
It was the second time we've seen one of his rockets reversed. Last time it like landed on a boat upright. It's amazing. And it goes to the power of capitalism and private enterprise. For 50 years, I'm sure the federal government and NASA has tried to do something like that. And this guy comes along and says, well, we're just going to do it. And he just did it. And now he has sent up a rocket to save the astronauts who went up to the space station and got stuck up there. They were supposed to be up there a week. Now they're up there a couple months. But he's going to save them, too. He sent up the rescue rocket, didn't he?
Yes. And, you know, one of the things, whether you like Elon Musk or not, or whether you agree with his politics or not, the one thing that Elon Musk has figured out, and he has the money to back himself, is that nothing is impossible. If he thinks it and his team thinks it, they can do it. They will figure out a way to do it. You know, we are watching firsthand technological marvels happen right in front of us, and we're taking it for granted in this social media world. But I will say this, one of the videos that I did see, because I saw a couple of them, Walt, one of them had a bunch of people on, like, along the shoreline watching at Cape Canaveral, watching this happen. And I'm not sure if it was Cape Canaveral or Texas. I apologize. But I can tell you this. They were all amazed, screaming, cheering, like really rooting it on. I mean, this new space race that we're seeing, it is getting younger generations excited again. And, you know, I even had a chat with my son watching it. I said, you know, son, I said, this is your future. I said, you're only in grade 6, but this is what you need to be thinking about coming in, going into high school, because my son just happens to be a math whiz. And I said, this is something you need to think about in the future when you decide that you want whatever it is you want to do and go to college for.
I'm jealous of one thing you just said, which is that your son is a math whiz. Math whizzes fascinate me, because here's how it went for me. I was an English major. I did really well in English and history, the soft subjects. And I was in a big middle school. It had 8 sections in each grade. And each section depended on how smart you were. So the people at the top of the food chain, they were the 2 or 3 sections at the top. Those were the really smart kids who were going to Ivy League schools. And then at the bottom, there were 2 or 3 sections of the kids who were going to auto shop. And I was in the top section in my English class and my history class. And I was surrounded by Lacoste shirts, penny loafers, people saying polite things, and smelling of the aroma of ivory soap. And then in my math class, which was always in the basement, I was surrounded by people with switchblades, leather jackets, and would threaten me at random times, just for no reason. They would just threaten me at random times. And on my SATs, you don't have SATs in Canada. What do you have?
No, we have SATs up here.
All right. So on my SATs, I had a 720 verbal and a 450 math. And the 450 math was the best of 3 after a coaching course. That's my relationship with math.
Yeah, anybody who can figure out math, that's the reason why I got into journalism, was because I knew I didn't have to deal with math. You know, it gave me anxiety. It really did. But, I mean, to watch the wonders that we are seeing with Elon Musk right now and the SpaceX program is pretty incredible. And, you know, the fact that he can send a rocket up on short notice like that, a couple months in the space world is short notice, to go rescue those astronauts that were stuck up there because of Boeing's failure. I mean, it just goes to show how far head and toes they are ahead of the rest of the private campaign going into space.
And about his politics, they're pretty much in line with every gazillionaire that came before him, the Rockefellers, the Edisons. They were all they had the same political point of view.
Well, you know, I mean, he obviously has been able to take advantage of a capitalism system. And, you know, people may not like his politics. People may not like the fact that, you know, they feel he's undertaxed for being worth $212 billion, you know, and being the richest man in the world. But, you know, I mean, if we had to pay his share of taxes, I'm sure we would be complaining even more.
And he never complains about it. It's just that's the system. That's how much he gets taxed. And if he was taxed a lot more, it would solve nothing.
Very true.
All right, what you got from space? Dave Scott, what you got from space?
Well, you know what, Walt? You remember last week on the show in Philadelphia on WPHT, we were talking about this breaking story of imminent constellation, which is allegedly a secret UFO program that very few people actually know exists. And yet an alleged whistleblower came out to a reporter saying, you know, this is a program where they hide all the UFO program and the knowledge of crash retrievals and everything. And the UFO world has been going absolutely nuts over that this past week. So last night, I'm lying in bed, just flipping through some social media reels, you know, before deciding to nod off for the night. And I start getting text messages on Signal from one of my sources. And he tells me point blank, and I haven't even said this on Spaced Out Radio yet, Walt. Okay, I'll be doing that tomorrow night. So this is breaking for you guys. There is a program and a sub-program with every, what they call SAP, okay, which is a special access program. The main imminent is the main program. Constellation is not the program. It is a sub-program where minimal ideas are actually shot through about the UFO world. And we can't even confirm whether or not the Constellation part of it is about UFOs or crash retrievals. And everybody is focusing on this, but nobody is looking into the finer details. And the intelligence community is actually laughing at the UFO community on how big they are blowing this up, including News Nation and Ross Coulthart and many others who we respect in this field. But imminent is the program name. And we have to be able to figure that out on what imminent is. But the problem that we have, Walt, according to my source, is how these programs work is that the minute they are outed, the name changes immediately. So imminent is probably already gone. It probably no longer exists. And it's under another hidden name that we're not going to know about because they probably already know who the whistleblower is. They would have done their homework. That's what the intelligence community does. But I'm not saying we're getting swindled in the UFO world, but what we're looking for is a needle in the haystack that may not exist.
Now, why didn't you and I think of that, a program to automatically change the names of the women that we're flirting with or screwing around on our wives with automatically, like every day, every third day? Why didn't we think of that?
Well, I think that's what Tinder is, and they're now billionaires, so you and I failed on that one, too.
Dave Scott, the great Dave Scott from Canada, how do we get in touch with you?
SpacedOutRadio.com, and I would love it if the Midnight Misfits head on over to YouTube and hit subscribe and ring the bell on our YouTube channel, Spaced Out Radio.
Spaced Out Radio, the great Dave Scott, a true Canadian. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. It's 18 minutes past the hour. You and I are driving across the country. We're on I-90, otherwise known as the Luge, and it's that sweet spot. It's the perfect spot. Driving the 18-wheeler. The temperature's just right. The glow from the dashboard is kind of beautiful in its own way. And we're comfortable and we're good. This is what you and I deserve, my friend. This is Sterling on Sunday.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
a man named Cornelius. Cornelius Shackelford, 33 years old, of Bryant, Arkansas, loves his Walmart. And one of the things you can do with Walmart, in fact, I did this when I had COVID, is that you can order through the app on your phone, arrive to Walmart, and one of the wonderful associates in a blue vest will run out to your vehicle with the provisions that you have selected. It was awesome when I had COVID. A lot of people like doing that just because they don't like the hustle and the bustle of Walmart, even in a small town. Well, 33-year-old Cornelius, just call me Corny, Shackelford, apparently an abuser of online ordering. And the question has been, well, how do you abuse it? Here's how you do. You order and you don't pick up. That's essentially going through. His account was suspended. He arrives and wants to know where his stuff is. Walmart sends him on his way, and Corny did something that no one should do. If you have a bad temper, or perhaps maybe you've had a couple of beverages, or some weed, or cocaine, whatever you use to, you know, take an edge off, leave the gun at home. Just a helpful hint. Booze, drugs, guns are a bad combination. Corny let off a few rounds, eventually arrested at the Quick Trip. He's in all sorts of trouble. Probably not a bad guy, just made some bad decisions. This lesson brought to you by Walmart, the largest corporation in the world. No one sells more things than Walmart, and you don't even have to go into the store. You can just order it right there on their convenient app, which I have on my phone. Corny probably should take it off his phone. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
I'm smutty book author Theo Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
You want me to read this? Well, okay. The drive-thru brew making its return, I guess. From the vault, you're not gonna hear this anywhere else. It's on the way, coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling at Night, inspired by a single guy.
Whenever I meet a pretty girl, the first thing I look for is intelligence. Because if she doesn't have that, then she's mine.
Look at this. You and I are driving right now. It's the best time of day to be in the 18-wheeler, the 4-wheeler, getting home from the long weekend when you were forced to be with relatives you don't like. And there's another thing that you and I are never allowed to just say. No, I really don't like that uncle. No, I really don't like that cousin. I really don't want to spend a weekend with them. Blah, blah, blah. We can't say these things in order to maintain our marriage, in order to maintain our friendships and relatives who have money. We have to pretend. One of the things I keep hearing lately, and you do too, is I grew up middle class. And it's always said by anybody as it is somehow a noble, inherently good thing. Well, I was raised middle class, and we were ticked. Two or three times a month, we'd pile in the car, drive up the hill, and look at the big homes. We'd drive up the hill and look at the fancy houses with the big lawns and the water features. That's how you know. Multiple fountains on the grounds, that's how you know. Or subtle things like in my middle class home, I had a sprinkler at the end of a hose, and we would drag the sprinkler on the hose to the middle of the lawn, try to aim it right, turn it on, and see if it was going to smack against the windows of the house or mostly the sidewalk. It took a certain amount of finesse and art to set up the sprinkler on the lawn. There were people who could nail it first shot. Others, like me, I'd always set it off way too high, way too fast. I was watering the sidewalk.
Why are you watering the sidewalk? Go back out there and fix it. We're not going to waste water on the sidewalk, said Mrs. Sterling, mother, in Maplewood, New Jersey. But the fact is that it was nothing noble about being middle class. We aspired. We had a goal, which was to be rich. Now, I got to tell you, the beauty of our country is this. Not me, but my mother and father could not have been raised in a lower middle class situation. They were not poor. They never missed a meal. Both, they all had parents who worked, but it was paycheck to paycheck. And my mother and my father, independent of each other, decided to do much better. My mom grew up in Irvington, New Jersey, lower middle class neighborhood. Dad grew up in Hillside, New Jersey, lower middle class neighborhood. My dad worked for the minute he could, like when he was 9 or 10 with the paper route, had his own money, had to get out of the house. But they decided to be rich. And through hard work and determination and focus, they were not middle class at the end of their life. They were rich. And they timed it in an interesting way. Until I was 18, they were middle class. Public schools, Asbury Park, Atlantic City. By the time my sister comes along, I'm 18, I'm out of the house, I'm in college. Then they hit the jackpot through hard work. Moved to the big house, swimming pool, built-in pool, Cadillac, Jaguars, multiple Jaguars, vacations in Europe. But they had that goal. How about you? This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Worthless Podcasts.
Hey guys, here's a couple tricks that'll help you when you're growing tomatoes this year.
Bulb use, more news, day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
I'm telling you, Tina, the celibacy thing is like a master cleanse to my body. You gotta try it.
You know, Shane, I've gone long periods without sex. It doesn't have the same salubrious effect on me.
Salubrious?
Yeah, salubrious.
I like it.
All right, good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday on KXNT in Las Vegas. How do I know that I'm a loner? For years, I always felt bad that I had all the symptoms of being a loner, but it was never discussed, written about. Instead, all the articles are about how to get along, how to be a team player, how to fit in or work together. And I'm like, finally, you and I are at a moment in time where being an introvert and a loner is okay. Now, I'm not saying it's okay where you work, because inevitably, whoever you work for is an extrovert. They're a leader. Those are extroverts. I prefer to be alone rather than with other people. I spend a lot of time just thinking. And I prefer to watch rather than dive in. I'd rather watch a group of people than dive in. I can read a room really fast, and that's a great gift. I can read a person really fast. That has saved me a lot of trouble. Over the years, I've hired hundreds of people. I've been in executive positions and a media consultant, executive consultant, where I've hired hundreds of people. I have never once called for a reference. Because what is a reference? It's to tell you whether or not the person's a jerk. If they're there, if they have that resume, they can do the tasks. But my instincts tell me instantly if you're a jerk, if you're a good guy or bad guy. And you know what? It's always worked. I have made mistakes about task ability, the ability for you to do something, but I've never been wrong about whether or not you're a good person or a bad person.
I see it in a second. I have a friend who was in some endless lawsuit with somebody because they turned out to be a bad person. The other person was a bad person. And I said to him, I knew he was a bad person when I shook his hand. I recoiled when I shook his hand. I knew that that was not a good guy. How'd you know? How'd you know? I just paid attention. Plus, I had a Jersey mom. And the way my Jersey mom would teach me, if I got excited about meeting somebody, if I thought somebody was really cool, she would say things like, oh, he's a yuck. He's just an ick. An ick was the worst thing my mother would say about somebody. He's just an ick. Don't bother. Don't bother. And she set my tuning fork, you know, my tuning fork for you. So I can read people easily around me. I can do that. And I lead, but I never follow. I'm a really good host and a crappy guest. You invite me over, I'm a crappy guest. I am. I'm terrible. Like, put the dog away, put the cat away. I don't want to talk to you. I'll sit in a corner. I'll read something. I'll stare at my phone. But I don't want to mix with you or participate in a conversation. But you come to a party of mine, in all modesty, I mean, as much as a talk show host can have, in all modesty, I give great parties. I'm a world-class host. People like my parties. Terrific host. That's how I'm a leader. I know somebody tonight doesn't think so. I think I'm a good boss. I think I'm a good leader. But I am a terrible employee. Like, that's why I had to work freelance. I've worked freelance most of my life because I don't want to sit in your office and I don't want to kiss up and I don't want to say all these wonderful things about how good you are. I please, no thanks. But I'm a good boss. People always, even though they'll whine for a while, they always want to work for me again. It's an interesting phenomena. And maybe you're like that, too. Maybe you're like that, too. That's what we do here. We're misfits. We're introverts and we're loners. And congratulations, we finally found each other. My email's waltermsterling@gmail. Every email I get gets answered. And tonight we're offering a ginger snap recipe from JB Bakery. A ginger snap recipe. I'll send it out to you tomorrow. Just send me an email. Ask for the recipe. No problem. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Yeah, but I don't think I can bend that way, huh? Oh, hi, I'm J.J. Wilson, and this is Drive Through Brew, the continuing story of Jake and the manager, two low-energy guys who sell beer, candy, and T-shirts at a drive-through. And speaking of low energy, here comes a customer in a very slow-moving electric car. Let's listen.
I'm an electric car. I can't go very fast or very far.
May I help you, sir?
Hey, yeah, I've got a big problem. My car needs a charge. Do you have a socket where I can plug it in? I'm really in a bind.
We have an outlet outside, but it's 110, not 220. How long do you think you would need to plug in?
Well, see, the problem is my batteries are so old. It takes me about 14 hours to get a full charge, and even then, I only get 10 miles of additional range.
10 miles? Where are you trying to go?
I like to go home, but I'm not sure I'll make it there this week. I live about 60 miles from here.
Maybe you ought to call a tow truck.
Well, I would, see, but my phone is dead. The battery's real old, too, and I can only make one short call every couple days or so.
Wow, you do have problems. Well, wait a minute. I'll look up a tow company, and you can use my phone.
Oh, that would be sweet. But would you mind making the call for me? I don't hear too well on my phone. My hearing aid batteries are pretty much shot.
his car, his phone, his hearing aids? What else could quit working for this poor soul? Well, listen next time when he says...
Oh, thank you. You boys are really kind. By the way, just now my pacemaker seems to be running a little slow, so if I pass out, could either you guys run me to the nearest hospital real quick?
That's next week on Drive Through Brew. Word Cars speaking.
Sterling at Night, inspired by Eliza Schlesinger.
I didn't know an Acura came with a time capsule. You just shut it. It's our little filthy secret stockpile, right? It's a, now that's what I call music CD.
In case they come back.
Yeah, it's one of those cables that plugs from the tape player into the CD player. It's a spilled nail polish. It's like a little bit of weed dust. It's a Calgon body spray because you'd rather smell like a stripper than weed, right?
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Elysium. I needed to make this kiss mine. Taking her hands in mine, gentler this time, I backed toward the cushioned recliner and sat down on the flat portion. She sat next to me and waited. Using one thumb, I brushed some of the moisture away from her cheekbone. Her lashes fluttered, and I cupped the side of her face with my palm. Exercising immense restraint, I grazed my lips against hers with the faintest pressure. Her jaw relaxed beneath me. I advanced, and her mouth opened to welcome me inside. Our tongues mingled together, engaged in a flirtatious game. She squeezed my thigh, her fingers pressing into me with the unspoken declaration of her choice. I slid an arm around her waist and pulled her with me to the back of the chair. She broke away and shook her head. "No," she said, "not here. You told me what else is in the building, but you didn't show me." Oh, I realized this gorgeous woman who had consumed my daydreams for weeks suggested I take her to the bedroom. "It's right at the end of the hallway," I stammered, ushering her toward the door. Had I known I'd been hosting company, I would have made the bed and maybe spruced up the room a little bit with something other than a lamp and an alarm clock. If April minded the rumpled sheets and sparse accommodations, she didn't show it. Once inside, she stepped closer to me and trailed a finger down the length of my tie. "Drew, can you do me a favor?" My heart pounded. Anything. She reached up and loosened the knot of striped fabric. "I'm not sure if this suits you," she giggled. "You looked so uncomfortable when I first got here." Though positive I blushed at her comment, I chuckled. It felt good to laugh with her. I wanted to make a good first impression. "You did." She worked one end out of the knot, and the tie slipped away. "I'm glad." My face burned as though on fire, but I blurted out a confession anyway. "As soon as I saw you and read all the beautiful things you wrote, I couldn't wait to meet you in person." Her fingers hovered at the shirt's top button. "You were very courteous and respectful when I got here." She undid the first closure. "And you took the time to answer any questions I had, which was nice." Two more buttons followed suit. "I wasn't sure if you did that with all your clients or if they were even interested, but it didn't matter then." Another two buttons and she'd arrived at my waistband. She tugged the shirt out of the khakis and unfastened the last of them. "You were were nothing but professional from the beginning, and I appreciate that. I'm sure your other clients do as well. The two halves drifted apart, exposing the white undershirt beneath it. But I think we're past that now. Obviously. April kicked off her sneakers and nudged them to the side. She sat on the bed and stared up at me with stunning gray eyes. A flash of defiance crossed their steely depths. I can tell you're so good at what you do, but I don't need you to treat me like some fragile flower anymore. Her hair cascaded down her shoulders as she leaned back on one hand. You don't have to be gentle with me. I've already survived a lot. She didn't have to tell me twice. I shrugged the rest of the way out of the dress shirt and tossed it to the side. After placing two more shoes beside hers, I sat next to her, the mattress creaking with the additional weight. Her words rang in my ears, but I didn't want to rush. For the second time that day, all bets were off as soon as our lips connected. We tumbled down to the pillows in a tangle of limbs, her slender frame flattened against mine. As I snuck beneath her t-shirt and caressed her back, her tongue delved into my mouth. I wanted to touch every part of her and cover every inch of her skin with kisses. Unfortunately, I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Elysium, which is available at Amazon on Kindle. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
All right, good evening, Walter M. Sterling. It's L-A-N-D-E-N. That's how she spells her last name. And you can get her books on Amazon, and they're the best time. You read it on an airplane. You read it when you have to kill some time. They're fun books. L-A-N-D-E-N. Thea Landon. I found her on X. She'd post things and call herself a smutty book author. I'm like, oh, she calls herself a smutty book author. That means there can be no issues in calling her a smutty book author. It's a lot of fun to have her on Sterling. Oh, now listen, if you're within 400 miles of Philadelphia, you and I get to talk with each other every night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., just like this, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., except that it's every damn night in Philadelphia on 1210 WPHT. And we have more recipes. Yes, I know that's a popular feature. It's really interesting, isn't it? From JB Bakery. And when we give out secret messages from the Midnight Misfit membership card, you can actually go to JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and get free donuts and discounts. You find me another radio show that on a regular basis offers you free donuts and discounts, because that's really what you want. What are you going to do with a trip to Paris? You won't have time. You're not going to go, and you have to pay taxes. That'd be insane. But that's what I'm thinking about now. Now I'm obsessed with the 12-foot statues, 12-foot skeletons at Home Depot, the 12-foot skeletons at Home Depot. And I've been thinking about them for about 6 weeks. Do I get the 12-foot skeleton, or do I get the 4 family pack? That's what they call them, the family pack of skeletons at Home Depot. That's terrifying to me. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
A great way to enjoy day.